Our next session will be a brief glimpse into space physics with only two talks. Our first speaker will be Géza Erdős. After graduating at the Eötvös Loránd University as physicist, Géza Erdős became a member of the Cosmic Ray Department of KFKI. His research area covered various fields of space plasma physics. He participated in numerous ESA and NASA space missions as co-investigator of particle and magnetic field experiments. He was a long-term visiting scientist of Imperial College London. He is the representative of Hungary in the Committee of Space Committee on Space Research. Today, he will speak about the first Hungarian magnetically shielded laboratory. The laboratory was his idea, a big dream which he was able to realize.
Thank you very much for the introduction, and also I thank to the organizing committee to be able to speak here. Good morning for, sorry, yeah. Good morning for everyone. This title page is unexpectedly also the acknowledgement because I put here the collaborators, which is from the Wigner Institute and also from Sopron, from the Institute of Geophysics and Earth and Space Science. The second page is also an acknowledgement because this installation which we have built had some very, very important financial support from the GIDOC project. It was a half billion Hungarian forint. So GIDOC means that the project leader institute should be outside Budapest, outside the Pest county. And so it is the the leader of the of this project is the Institute of Earth Physics and Space Science I mentioned earlier. The venue is at the Széchenyi István Geophysical Observatory, which is near Nagycsenk, and we are participating as a member of this consortium. If you look at this number, then you can see that it started in 2016, and we were supposed to finish it 2 days later, and we were quite creative to extend the deadline. I used to call it the Penelope project. The problem was not technical, not scientific, but mainly to deal with the public procurement procedure, which is not really suitable for to buying a scientific installation. Okay, now now I want to speak about the motivation why we were making this very big effort. In the introduction, it was told that I was interested in to measure the magnetic field in space. And if you want to make the best magnetometer we put into the space, then we can use, in principle, the speed magnetometer, the superconducting one. But it is not practical because we don't have liquid helium in space. But in recent years, and this means this century, a new rival appeared, which called the SERF magnetometer. This is an acronym of spin action relaxation P, which doesn't need cryogenic cooling. But the disadvantage is that it works in a very low magnetic field. It's less than 10 nanotesla. But it is not a problem if we go to the space outside of the Earth's magnetosphere because we have got similar small magnetic field. So the idea is that we try to make the space-borne version of this this type of magnetometer. And but because of this, if you want to make this this development, then we need an electromagnetically clean room, and also this room will be similar to the interplanetary space. So we bring down to Earth the interplanetary space as far as the magnetic environment is concerned. But also, if we want to develop such magnetometers, we don't want to measure the magnetic field of the spacecraft itself. So we need to make a very strict magnetic windless program, and that is also can be used in such a laboratory which we have built. Now, I just want to tell you about a bit more about the self-magnetometer. If there is an atom with a spin and it is placed into magnetic field, and it makes the alarm or precision movement. If we measure that frequency, then we can two possibilities. One is that we know the magnetic field, and we want to know what is the magnetic moment. And this is used in the NMR experiment, for instance. We can count the how many nitrogen in the tissue, and we, so we know what is the protein content and so on. The other is that if we know the material, then we can measure the magnetic field. And this is the atomic magnetometer. Now, with atomic magnetometer, there is a problem that but because the electrons which are orbiting in the outer orbits, they interact with the neighboring atoms, and they make spin exchange reaction. And therefore, the magnetic moment, which is the effective moment of the nucleus inside, is a fluctuating quantity. And that's by the Larmor frequency problem. And the trick is that if we put this device into a very low magnetic field, then the Larmor period is much longer than the spin exchanges, then the spin exchange fluctuation can average out. So the magnetic moment of this atom will be very fine. And we can measure with a laser spectroscopy very precisely the Larmor frequency. But this works only below 10 nanotesla. Now, I was speaking about too much about nanoteslas and this sort of thing, so it is high time to show you some scale. The Earth's magnetic field is about 50,000 nanotesla. Now, the self-magnetometer works below 10 nanotesla, so that is about 4 order of magnitude difference. So this is the range of the self-magnetometer. Now, the interplanetary space is also in the order of 10 nanotesla, so that's why we think that we can use the self-magnetometer. Our laboratory, to be on the safer side, you want to go even in at least one magnitude smaller to make measurements with 12 magnetometer. Now, it is quite a challenge to go down because there are natural noises and also artificial noises in the magnetic field. The biggest natural noise is the magnetic storm. We can learn from Professor Tamás Gomborsi 2 days ago that there is a space weather and which contains magnetic storm, and the amplitude of such a storm is a few hundred nanotesla. So it's much upper than our region where we want to work. So we need some correction for that. As for artificial sources, the biggest source is the power lines. Fortunately, this venue where we put the installation is a very quiet place. I will show you in a minute later. So we don't worry about power lines. I don't like automobiles because if it's 50 meters, then it is already in the surf regime. If we make a measurement, then we are not supposed to leave a screwdriver in our laboratory room because that will be in the order of our residual field. So we have to be very careful what to put inside the chamber where we have the small magnetic field. And also the single chip transistor is also making some noise. This is, fortunately, it is quite low, but if you want to make wave measurements, I'll be like to tell you later about this side, then it can be also a problem. So the thing is that we cannot put everything inside the laboratory. We have to carefully design the installation if you make some measurement. Now about the venue, this is here is Nagyszeng. The closest village is Fertőbors, not very well known place. And this is the venue. So it's even not in the Fertőbors. I like this satellite picture because it shows the lake, not Cedar Sea, the Fertő Lake, in the earlier times. It was in this place. But when the Hanság mud was dried out, then the water went to there. But here there is nothing. It is just some vegetation. So it is a quiet place. It was selected this site because it has got this very, very low human activity. And also the soil is very good. It has got a 2 kilometer wide sedimental soil. It's not the Fertő lake, but it comes from the ancient Pannon lake. And this sedimentary soil is much better than rocks. The people who are working with gravitational waves, they know that there are any time small, very small earthquakes. And if there are rocks, then due to piezoelectric effect, they get a current. This current is tiny, but the loop is very large. So this can affect our measurement. And I show this very nice houses, which was built about 50 years ago. And in this house, there is a magnetometer which measures continuous magnetic field. Laymen like to call it as a hobbit house. It's a really, really nice place. Now, how we want to put our shielded room inside a hole, which is a 9 meter size cube here. You can see here, which is connected with a corridor with an existing building. This is made with wood, you can see here. Now we cannot make such picture because there is the room which is for the core of this installation, but without this metal box, we have this, you have seen this thing. Now this is the, we reduce the magnetic field in 2 steps. It is in passive shielding and active shielding. Passive shielding means that we have got about 3 millimeter large room, which is made by metal. It has got 2 mu metal layer, which has got a very large permeability. It's 100 times larger than iron. And this very large permeability material deflects the magnetic field line around the core place. Some people say that it would be easier to make with iron, but iron has got 10 times smaller permeability. We have here 2 tons of mu metal, which is basically nickel. It's very expensive. If we have built with from iron, then we would have built a 200 tons iron box. And there is also a copper coated aluminum layer, which serves as a Faraday cage. Now the door is quite large. It looks like the door of the treasure of the Hungarian National Bank in the cellar. So it's a very, very big thing. Here you can see the 2 mu metal layers here and here, and this is for the copper coated aluminum. If it is without the door installed, but now if you look at the door, I like to show this feature. This feature joins this aluminum layer for good electric conduction. So I think it's called comb join. And this is all the way through, there is such a device. The door, if you want to close it, then you should pneumatically assist, otherwise you cannot push the door. And there are feed through holes and light also interesting. I show here, if you are inside the room, then there are feed through holes. One is here, one is here. If you want to put an installation, a measurement apparatus, then you have to dismantle and take out the sensor, and you can take inside the room only the sensor. You can see actually a wire, which we try to make a magnetic measurement with a self-magnetometer, which we have purchased. And the sensor was inside the room and the electronic was outside. But this will also serve for pipe lines, for gases or vacuum lines. And also if you want to use a laser beam, then you can take the laser outside the room and shot the beam inside the room. I show these lamps. The bulbs are outside the first, the inner metal layer. And the light is comes inside the optical wire. So it's a very carefully designed installation. Now, the active shielding, we use a magnetic coil system, which we put a magnetic current, which creates magnetic field, which is opposite to the Earth's magnetic field. So this is the active shielding. And this is active because we determine the current from the magnetic, terrestrial magnetic field, which was measured in this one of this hobbit house, and we put into a computer online the magnetic field measurement in 1 hertz sampling frequency, and we drive the coils according to that. Here you can see the coils on the wall. So we have got 9 meter sized coils, very huge one. And it's not the Helmholtz coil, but it's so-called Merritt coil, which have got two pairs of wires in each direction. So we have got 12 coils, and also we have got singular wires for fine tuning. Now I go to the application, and the first thing is that I was already told that we have want to use this for space physics, but there are other things which we can also use. For instance, in technology, we can study, the engineer can study interferencing between components. And there is material science, geology, chemistry, even particle physics, biology, and medicine. And some of them I will explain you a bit in detail. I don't know how many minutes I have got, not too much, I think. For the space technology, aviation industry, as mentioned, they are complex devices which contain many very complex subsystems, and there is a very much demand for safe operation. It's not nice if an airplane has got in the electronics, and they need to study interference between components. So it is one possible application. In material science, if you melt up an alloy to above the Curie temperature and be let to cool down in the zero magnetic field, then I would expect that we can get different magnetic structures. If you cool down in the Earth field, then there is an external field, and these atoms organize according to them. But if it is a zero field, then they should be cooled down with each other's magnetic field. So, for instance, I can imagine that a ferromagnetic material, if you cool down in this zero magnetic field, it will go antiferromagnetic, and other things also can be studied. Geology, as I just mentioned, that people are using shale magnetic field generally if they want to measure rocks, because the field is which are frozen into the rocks is very small, so they know you need a good environment. Now, this is a very interesting point. When we made the proposal, it was difficult to squeeze in the, I don't know, 50 words, 500 words, what we are using for this installation. But we did not mention this chemistry because in that time, almost 10 years ago, there was no such experiment. But now, this zero to ultra field nuclear magnetic resonance, he has got an awful acronym. And if you put this acronym into Google, then you will get plenty of publications. And the interesting point is that if you make a normal nuclear magnetic resonance, then the magnetic field is in Tesla. So we are going up to 5 order of magnitude with magnetic field. The signal is in a gigahertz, and we detect with a search point, it's a microwave measurement, and this gives information about the magnetic momentous atoms. But if you go down, also about 4 or 5 magnitude, there you are in the nanotesla range. In this case, the signal is, let's say, 100 hertz. And the detection is that if we measure this peak magnetic field with a squid or a cell, and we store in a computer a time series, and we make the spectral resolution with the computer. And here are some examples. And they used to say that this is the chemical fingerprint of material, and it is sensitive to the chemical bonds, the angle between atoms and the distance between atoms. So if you have isomers like here, then the spectrum will be completely different. And you can select between the isomers if you make a quantum chemical calculation, and one of them will match which are the right solution. So you can select between isomers, and also when a chemical reaction takes place, then obviously the spectrum changes. So it can be used also for reaction dynamics. Now, maybe it's too late, but just please be mentioning that there is a very big area if you want to measure the magnetic field produced by the human. And this can be, for instance, which is interesting, is a heartbeat. We know it's a very simple thing. Everyone knows that the electrocardiography, EKG, how it does work, but we cannot use this for a fetal because there is no access to the body. So it would be better to measure this signal from the magnetic field, which are produced from the heartbeat. But also it's an interesting point, the human brain. And normally they use the electroencephalography, where the patient has got a head with lots of electrodes and they measure the potential difference. However, they want to measure this sort of wave activity inside the brain, very deep inside, then it's horror. They should have to make holes on the skeleton and put needles inside the brain. So it's horror. And it would be better if you can measure the magnetic field, because in that case, we don't need this very, very invasive investigation. Here is one example. The patient sits here. This contains 306 bits. So it's a very sophisticated. In Hungary, there is no such device. But it would be interesting. We have got already the shielded room. And it would be interesting if you can replace the squeeze bead step detector, because that would reduce the operation cost. So I arrived to my summary. So I would like to point out that we have just finished the installation of the magnetically clean room. Actually, this presentation is very timely, because tomorrow we go to the site and we have to go through the final examination from the finishing body. And if we pass, then this project can be closed financially. And so the point is that we reduce the terrestrial magnetic field by 5 order of magnitude. This is similar condition than interplanetary space. And our main goal to develop the new generation of magnetometer, self-magnetometer. But this room is also, as I showed, there are lots of applications that we can use, and everyone is welcome if they want to join us and use this facility. Thank you for the attention.
Lisa, are there any questions? I don't see any. Oh, yes, please.
Measured now at the moment. How is the magnetic field measured?
Inside the room?
Yeah.
Yes, it's tiny, so we have to, we purchase a self-magnetometer from America and we measure it with them. But in the site, there are also three side magnetometers, because we are dealing with the measurement of the terrestrial magnetic field, so we can also use that. But it's not very obvious. But we have got to purchase self-magnetometers. About 6, I think.
Yes.
So if I take a strong permanent magnet, I go into the room and I leave the room again. Is it then kind of destroyed for the rest of its lifetime, or can it recover from this?
I couldn't follow this.
I just take a very strong magnet in my hand and then I enter your room.
Yes.
And then I go out again. Is this already enough to destroy the shielding function of this room? Or can it recover from that?
Yeah. It's a good question that if the door is open, then this installation, we don't use the active shielding, then it is exposed to the Earth's magnetic field. And then the metal plates are magnetized, which is bad. But it takes some, I don't know, months or whatever. So in later, we certainly we will get a degradation of this facility, and we need to make a demagnetization process. We have both the coil built inside the room, which we cannot do later. So we have got the coil to for the demagnetization process, but they don't have the electronic yet. So we have to either develop or buy somewhere. So it's a future task. So that my point is, if you open and close, it will not harm for a short time.
Maybe one more question. Yes, please.
A very naive man, don't laugh at me. Mm-hmm. So it's quite common if you make this deaf room to which has no sound at all and people can go in, can be harmful psychologically or something if there's no any noise or sound around us. Does it harm? So does this room harm people if they are got there for longer time? Is there any measurements or knowledge on this?
There are measurements, but there is no knowledge, so it is not proved. they did some that people were inside the room and they were using the active shielding and they switched on, switched off, and they had to say that what time it was a zero magnetic field, and they couldn't know it. So it looks like that it's not working. But one of the application is really psychology also. So, but it's mainly for to look at the brain activity, not for us. We are not the animals which feel very much the reverse magnetic field, like the migrating birds, pigeons, the resort touching. But the mankind have lost this during the evolution because they have no advantage of this. We are not migrating pigeons. So it's not true, but probably is not. But if a younger guy goes to this room, then he will certainly very much be affected, because I cannot think about a young guy who are not pressing the mobile phone anytime, and they have got problem inside. So so the hand of the mobile phone is already attached to our hand, so it's maybe it's a problem. But a lift also can do this, so it's not a big thing.
You again?
Thank you. That's a present for you.